Hello and welcome to Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll examine a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with President Trump's 2019 budget released today, which guts diplomacy by 32% and environmental protection by 34%, while slashing domestic spending by billions in food stamps, health insurance, and federal housing subsidies, at the same time boosting defense spending and immigration enforcement. Mike Lofgren, who has spent 28 years in Congress, the last 16 of which as senior analyst on the House and Senate budget committees, joins us to discuss the $4.4 trillion budget, which adds $7 trillion to the deficit over the next 10 years, and his article in tomorrow's New York Times, which is a detailed analysis of the budget. We'll look into the charges of Republican hypocrisy leveled by Senator Rand Paul over the GOP's sudden abandonment of their mantra on the doom and gloom of mounting deficits, and assess how long it will be before Trump's working-class voters realize they have been scammed by a one-time bonus instead of a pay raise, while consumer protection is eliminated, workplace health and safety stripped, and collective bargaining is outlawed. Then we'll get an analysis of Trump's much-ballyhooed infrastructure plan that critics are calling a scam, and speak with Robert Fuentes, the president and CEO of the ENO Center for Transportation, an independent nonpartisan think tank which focuses on infrastructure. He joins us to discuss a largely aspirational plan that takes $200 billion from existing infrastructure spending with the hope of leveraging that with state and local spending and private investment up to $1.5 trillion. This is far below what the American Society of Civil Engineers considers as the $4.59 trillion needed in infrastructure spending, and would likely mean that more tolls and usage fees would be involved to create revenue streams to attract private investors. Then finally, with Trump's budget taking an axe to American diplomacy, we'll examine the paradox of throwing more money at defense while the president's ignorance, ineptitude, and inattention has seen America lose ground in the Middle East, with Russia moving into Egypt, Libya, Syria, and Turkey, while China makes gains in Africa, Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Myanmar, and Southeast Asia. Historian Alfred McCoy, the author of In the Shadow of the American Century, The Rise and Decline of U.S. Global Power, joins us to discuss America's retreat and his article at The Nation, Fortress America is Crumbling, Trump's Inept One-Man Diplomacy is Wrecking U.S. Foreign Policy. And joining us now is Mike Lofgren, who has spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate Budget Committees. He's the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Party is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and the Middle Class Got Shafted. And his latest book is The Deep State, The Fall of the Constitution and the Rise of a Shadow Government. And he has an article in tomorrow's New York Times, which is a detailed analysis of the Trump budget. Welcome to Background Briefing, Mike Lofgren.
Well, good to be here again, Ian.
Well, thank you, Mike. And so let's start with Rand Paul holding up the Senate the other night, giving both the House and Senate a sleepless night. He was certainly unpopular amongst his colleagues, one of whom said now he understands why Rand Paul's next-door neighbor attacked him. But I thought the point that he was making was well taken. Which is that how come we Republicans have been going on and on about Obama's deficit spending, and now that we're creating deficits, we're totally silenced. It's the height of hypocrisy. So is that what you have in your piece tomorrow in the New York Times?
Well, not exactly. And of course, he's right about late into the evening spending spree there last week, where they added roughly a trillion. Probably if you extend the baseline out for 10 years, it'll be a lot more than that in spending. However, his whole Horatius at the bridge routine strikes me as a little bit hypocritical, considering just a few weeks back, he enthusiastically added $1.5 trillion to the deficit. Now, that was to overwhelmingly benefit the rich with tax cuts that economists say we don't need because we're not in a recession. We already have a situation in this country where the top one-tenth, not 1%, one-tenth of 1%. In other words, those with assets over $20 million have more wealth than the bottom 90%. And these tax cuts will only exacerbate that. For what? We are borrowing money from the public to give to rich people.
So you're referring, of course, to Rand Paul's vote on the tax bill. So that basically created $1.5 trillion out of thin air and gave it to the richest Americans and the most powerful corporations. And then in order to prevent the government from being shut down, they threw an extra $80 billion at defense, I think this year, and then another $85 next year. And gave considerably less in the $60 billion to non-defense spending just to keep the lights on. And now Trump has come up with a $4.4 trillion budget that adds $7 trillion to the deficits over a 10-year period. So,
well, this is a remarkable budget, Ian, because, as you say, it adds $7 trillion to the deficit and the debt over 10 years, yet it cuts over 20% from Health and Human Services. That's medical care, folks. Cuts 29% from the State Department. That might be a slightly different figure than you cited because it might be coming off a different baseline. Somewhere between 22 and 25% of environmental protection. It would eliminate whole agencies like the Corporation for Public Broadcasting or the National Endowment for the Humanities. So how he manages to gut all this and come up with $7 trillion more in debt is a remarkable feat, but you got to hand it to Donald Trump. He can do the unexpected.
Well, but it's unexpected, but how real is it? In other words, is he going to be able to pass this? I mean, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and 95%, that's the end of NPR and PBS. I mean, obviously, it's also going to affect this station that I'm broadcasting from as well. So are the public going to go along with this? I mean, are we just that passive as a country?
Well, I would
country?
Say that even Republicans in the House, they're not going to take the full cuts, just as they didn't take the full cuts of the EPA and some other agencies in the last go-around. However, they will end up being cut by some smaller percentage, perhaps, but I suspect they will end up being cut somewhat. And over time, that ends up being the death of a thousand cuts, just sort of slowly squeezing these agencies rather than killing them outright. I guess it's a slow death rather than a quick death.
Well, do you think that at any point the American people will wake up and say, wait a minute, we need a government? Or will the government just be so eviscerated? Because one of the things that Trump has done is it's amazing how he's changed the focus away from him being investigated for possible collusion, criminality, and even treason with the Russians. And he's got everybody, I think 75% or so of Russians, believing that the Mueller investigation should be shut down, and that he's attacked the FBI, he's attacked the DOJ, he's attacked the press. Hillary Clinton is blamed for everything still, and the Democrats on the intelligence committees as well. So he's very cleverly changed the subject, but at the expense of undermining American democratic institutions. So if you undermine democratic institutions, the State Department has already hollowed out. Tillerson's been a catastrophe. And then you've got DOJ led by a guy who doesn't stand up for his own workforce and is going along with this purge. The number one in law enforcement agency being purged. and so forth. This is at what point do you think the American public, and particularly the working class people who voted for this guy, wake up and realize that they're losing all of their consumer protection, their health and safety, their health care, and their right at collective bargaining?
Right. It is amazing. I mean, I used to joke on Capitol Hill that whenever a crime bill was being debated, the Republicans were such a party of law and order that I expected at any minute for some Republican to get up and offer an amendment proposing a federal death penalty for jaywalking. Now, they think the FBI is the Gestapo, and they're doing everything they can to undermine it. It is somewhat like Orwell's 1984, where Big Brother's policy flips on a dime, and everyone else immediately is trooping after it like a flock of parrots squawking the same propaganda tune. However, I think at some point, there are neuralgic points where ordinary working people do feel it. Like, for instance, the EPA has been demonized in Republican lore for, you know, 30 years, and certainly ever since the Fairness Doctrine was repealed. That's all I hear on Rush Limbaugh, is that the EPA is some sort of Gestapo, and it does all this pansy stuff like protecting the environment. But they scream bloody murder every time their gas prices go up a nickel. Well, it's going to be a lot worse than that, as your next guest is going to demonstrate. Once we have this so-called public-private partnership with transnational corporations to sell off infrastructure that we already paid for with our tax money at a very low bid to these corporations so they can turn around and slap tolls on us and make us pay a second time. When Joe Sixpack has to pay a toll every 2 miles, he's not going to be happy.
Well, it is an amazing situation to see that what appears to be a kind of totalitarian impulse on the part of the Republicans and their big backers like the Koch brothers and the Mercers and others, because they don't it doesn't look as if they want any kind of loyal opposition. They don't want to compete with the Democratic Party. They want to destroy it. You know, they're going to defund it through, first of all, they're gerrymandering it into marginalization. They're doing everything they can with voter suppression. They have Citizens United to give them unlimited money, and it's all dark money now. That's how Trump got elected, $861 billion of dark money poured in the latter few months. Then you've got this nationwide effort for right-to-work states, and they're getting peeling one off after the other. You've got Supreme Court is going to look into this California case, which will defund all public employees' unions, which is a source of money for the Democrats along with the unions. So the Democrats are going to have no money, be gerrymandered out of existence, and we'll have a one-party state. Is that... what kind of an agenda is that in a so-called democracy? But that seems to be what we...
Well, it's certainly the objective.
Right.
I wouldn't argue with that. I would say, however, that recent trends have shown that when the public has something really egregious put in front of its face, it does react. I mean, Alabama is almost a poster child for all these trends that you cited, and yet, amazing to relate, they elected a Democratic senator. So it is possible, and the state in which I reside, Virginia, they pretty much cleaned the house of Republican incumbents. So it is possible, and I don't think we should take counsel of our fears. However, we should keep our powder dry. and beware of all this trickery and distraction and demagoguery from the administration.
Well, just in the last minute, I didn't want to spend so much time on my puzzlement over how come you can have such an ignorant and unqualified president do so much damage and appear to actually be winning when every day he's creating chaos and destruction. And it is kind of mind-boggling to see the damage on a daily basis, and yet he goes up in the polls, and his whole people in the Fox bubble are completely sold on the idea that he's draining the swamp when he's rewarding the wealthiest, and he's going to screw and scam the people who voted for him. But let's just, in the last couple of minutes, talk about this budget. How quickly do you think, before the real nature of this budget and how it's so much lopsided towards, again, the 1% of the 1%, and how it's going to punish the poor and a lot of the people that voted for Trump?
Well, it's going to dawn on people pretty quickly. For instance, here they're attempting to privatize the George Washington Parkway. That's not just a beautiful scenic road. It is Park Service property. It is National Park Service property going through National Park Service land. And to turn that into some sort of a toll road is, I think, just an atrocity. President Eisenhower understood that you can't have a great continental nation with this balkanized patchwork of roads, and he created a true national highway system. And Trump has shown how far the Republican Party has fallen insofar as he's trying to destroy that.
Well, he's also, you know, obviously the only way to do any infrastructure, since we need about $5 to $6 trillion worth, not this $1.5 trillion, only $200 billion of which, of course, he's going to take from other existing infrastructure programs and then trying to leverage that with state and local money along with private investment, which, as you point out, will be lured in with the promise of being able to have tolls and revenue streams.
That's the only way that they'll do that.
Right.
And
right.
So that money is just going to essentially transfer property to big transnational construction management corporations or big investors like, oh, for instance, Wilbur Ross, Trump's commerce secretary.
Right. So there's the scam. And there's, you know, every day regulations are taken away. Now, you know, it used to be that if you changed an airline booking, you know, you had some grace time before they made you pay for it, pay a penalty. Now you get 24 hours, you know?
Right. I think on every single level, whether it's the Consumer Finance Protection Agency or the Federal Communications Commission having to do with net neutrality, every time there is some decision on consumer protection, inevitably the consumer gets the shaft.
Welcome to Trump's America.
Republicans hate consumers and ordinary citizens. They love plutocrats.
Well, it's time for the the majority to stop being afflicted by the tyranny of the minority here. And I thank you for joining us, Mike Lofgren.
It's good to be here.
And again, I've been speaking with Mike Lofgren, who has spent 28 years working in Congress, the last 16 as a senior analyst on the House and Senate Budget Committees. He is the author of the New York Times bestseller, The Party Is Over, How Republicans Went Crazy, Democrats Became Useless, and the Middle Class Got Shafted. And his latest book is The Deep State, The Fall of the Constitution and the Rise of the Shadow Government. And he has an article in tomorrow's New York Times, which is a detailed analysis of the Trump budget. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back with an analysis of Trump's much-ballyhooed infrastructure plan that critics are calling a scam.